This evening, we do have commissioners in present here at the airport as well as a couple on the line. So I'll call the meeting to order and then we'll do a roll call. Okay, very good. Thank you. I will be calling the meeting to order, then we'll do a roll call followed by the Pledge of Allegiance and moving into the agenda as you see presented both online and here with us that are in the meeting. So a meeting is officially called to order. It is 5:15. I'd like to again welcome everybody that's here, both staff, members of the commission, and our guests that are joining us this evening. Quick roll call for members. Thaddeus Schrader, if you're online.
Am I muted still, Tom?
Am I muted?
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom, I just led you on that.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me this evening? Let's do a quick sound check. Erling, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can.
Very good.
Chairman?
All right, very good. Well, our name is Tom Benton. I'm going to be calling the meeting to order here at 5:15. Grand Junction Regional Airport Authority Board Meeting, August 17th. Your agendas were posted online. We do have commissioners here as well as staff and a couple of commissioners that are joining us online. So we'll be doing a roll call in just a moment. Again, I'd like to welcome everybody. We'll find out who's here by a roll call announcement. So, Commissioner Schrader.
Present.
Commissioner Brabach.
I'm here. Good evening, everybody.
Very nice to have you here. Commissioner Marshall.
I'm here.
Commissioner Taggart.
I'm here.
And Commissioner Benton, that's me. I'm here as well. We do know that Commissioner Tuffley and Velarde are out this evening. So again, I appreciate everybody being in attendance. I will make a quick note to folks, we are starting back to school, a lot of folks coming up in September and October, and with that I think our agendas will become much more robust here because we did have kind of some light things during the summer. But so if we can make the September October meetings, that would be great. Just a quick advertisement there for attendance. So, won't you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and also for everybody in attendance, it'd be nice to know the staff that have joined us this evening. So, Cameron, do you want to call out who's here and who's online?
Sure. I'd love to. So here in the room we have Director of Finance, Sarah Mingy, Director of Facilities, Ben Peck, Director of Operations, Dylan Heberlein, Accounting Coordinator, Shayla Flesh, and myself, Cameron Reese, as Board Clerk. And then we have online Executive Director, Angela Padalecki, and Legal Counsel, Dan Reamer.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Did we miss anybody this evening? All right, very good. Thank you for your attendance this evening. We do have an agenda that's been presented. It's been posted online. We have several consent agenda items that you may have seen for the minutes from July 20th, August 3rd. A quote for painting the exterior terminal, beams and pillars. American Association of Airport Executives training course. That's kind of exciting coming here to town, looks like. And also an IGA with the Car Department of Transportation. We talked about the Mustang service at our workshop. That's on the consent agenda coming forward. So, action item this evening is the pre-authorization acceptance of an AIP grant agreement for runway 1129 grading and drainage construction. We talked a little bit about that at our agenda for our workshop as well, followed by staff reports. So that's our agenda. Staff, is there any changes that you'd like to make to the agenda this evening?
No, Mr. Chairman, we don't have any changes.
Very good. Commissioners, anything that you see on consent that you'd like to hear more about, or is everybody okay with the agenda this evening? Seeing heads nodding? Very good. Everybody okay? So I will entertain a motion for the approval of the agenda this evening.
So moved.
We have a motion. It was kind of a tie. I think Lindy was on my left shoulder here, so I'm going to call her winning. Thaddeus, would you like to second the motion?
I would like to second.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Quick roll call for approval of the agenda. Commissioner Brabach.
Aye.
Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Taggart.
Aye.
And Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
And the chair votes in approval as well. So motion carries for the approval of the agenda this evening. Commissioner comments? Anything for good of the order? Or observations?
It's hot and I can't see.
Right.
Some truth to that. No question about that. So, thank you for your service, commissioners. Appreciate your attendance this evening. Anything from the public who wish to comment? I'll open that up for citizen comments. Generally, we give folks 3 minutes or so to share their thoughts regarding report activities. Did we have anybody send us an email or a form?
No, Mr. Chairman, we have not received any citizen comments.
Okay.
Via email or public comment slip here in the boardroom.
Okay. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate that. Hearing none of those, we'll move in for the approval of the consent agenda that we've described earlier this evening. As mentioned, there's 5 items in there. Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda this evening. Commissioner Taggart, would you make a motion to approve the consent?
I thought we just did.
We approve the overall agenda.
Oh, okay. I move that we approve the consent items.
Consent items, very good. Is there a second?
I will second that.
This is Earl, I'll second.
Very good, thank you all. So approving the items on our consent agenda this evening, I will do a roll call for the approval of the items as made in the motion by Commissioner Taggart and seconded by Commissioner Brayback. Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Brayback.
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Taggart.
Aye.
And the chair votes approval also for the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are approved as presented. Thank you. All right. Next item on our agenda this evening is our action item, which is a pre-authorization for the acceptance of an anticipated AIP grant that we know that the federal government is working hard to help out airports and before the fiscal year is over, and that this item is coming before us this evening. And Angela, I think you and perhaps Colin are going to be presenting that.
That's right. Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay, Tom?
We can. Yep, you're coming through loud and clear. Thank you for being here.
Good. Sorry I'm not there in person. But what you have before you tonight that we're asking you to take action on is to pre-authorize Tom to accept an AIP grant should we be awarded in this end of year cycle. So the grant cycle corresponds to the federal fiscal year. This fiscal year ends September 30th. As you know, the airport team, especially Colin and Jeremy, have worked really hard to get bids in hand. We got good bids, contractors, we've been working closely with the FAA. And we're really hopeful that we'll be able to capture some end-of-year funding. However, the FAA has indicated that they expect the timeline for turnaround on grants to be even shorter than it usually is, and that it could be as short as just a day or two. And so with that, we are asking the board to authorize Tom to accept a grant for the airport that's consistent with the application you approved at the last meeting and with the draft grant language that you have in your packet. You'll notice the only thing that's missing is the grant amount. And then as far as what's funded, the project is broken up into 3 separate schedules. And so based on the amount of funding available, that will be aligned with schedules to really demonstrate what will be funded on the project side. Whatever they're not able to fund this year, we're hopeful they'll fund in the spring. So as a reminder, you know, this money that we receive in this federal fiscal year does not require an airport match. And so our airport match is covered by the American Rescue Plan. And so that amount, you know, depending on how much we receive, well, no matter what, it represents money that we otherwise would have to spend for this project. And as the infrastructure funding bills become more clear and the language is getting solidified, it looks more and more likely that we will be going back to paying our airport match and our grants in the future. So I think it's just one more reason why it's especially important that we capture as much end of year funding as we can. Are there any questions?
Any commissioners, anything for Angela regarding this item on the agenda? I know it was well scoped in a previous workshop as well as our packet this evening. Again, compliments to the team that worked on this to get us prepared for this year-end funding opportunity that looks like it's forthcoming. Appreciate that. Thank you for the engineering expertise and coordination with the ADO, et cetera, to put Grand Junction's airport in a position that we would be able to secure funds that keep that don't require a match. This is a very significant event for the airport, so thank you for doing that.
Angela, I'm assuming, this is Rick, I'm assuming this is on our agenda for tomorrow night at City Council as well?
Hi, Rick, this is not on your agenda for tomorrow night. Ultimately, we just couldn't get this on there fast enough, but we are targeting the September 1st meeting where we will ask City Council to similarly pre-authorize Reg to sign the grant and ask for similar pre-authorization from the county. I have spoken to Greg Caton about this already. He didn't have any concerns and seemed very supportive, frankly.
And that won't cause you any timing issue to have it the first week of September?
Nope, not at all. Okay. So typically these grants come out about mid-month in September, and then the deadline for airports for return it is still mid-month because the federal government needs a few days at the end of their fiscal year to get it to the finish line on their end. So once it's executed from our perspective. So as long as we get everything done that first week of September, we feel good.
Good questions. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any further insights or questions for Angela or Colin in this case? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval for this action item. Lindy, would you be willing to offer the motion?
I sure will, Mr. Chairman. So I will make a motion to authorize the chairman to accept the FAA AIP grant for the runway grading and drainage construction project consistent with a draft AIP grant agreement and grant application, and authorize the executive director to sign the corresponding co-sponsorship agreements with the City of Grand Junction and Mesa County.
Very good. Entertain a second.
I'll second.
It's been seconded by Commissioner Taggart. Roll call vote. Commissioner Schrader.
Aye.
Commissioner Braback.
Aye.
Commissioner Marshall.
Aye.
Commissioner Taggart.
Aye.
And the chair votes in approval as well. Again, nice job. Thank you. Motion carries. All right, we do have a few other items. I know, Commissioner Braback, you had a couple of other things that were kind of pressing. Appreciate your attendance for the vote this evening so we'd have a quorum along those lines, as well as Commissioner Schrader. I know you guys have had some things going on, and thank you for your attendance this evening if you need to duck out. We will move on to reports from our staff, our executive director report. Angela?
Sorry, it clicked away. Thank you, and I know I often say I'll be brief, and then, you know, I prove to be a liar, but tonight I will be because my voice is not there for me. But first, I just want to thank you all for your support on this end of your grant. This is a big deal, and, you know, we're working hard behind the scenes to scoop up as much money as we can in this end of your period, and your approval really, really helps in us getting things to the finish line, so thank you. I wanted to mention that we have seen flights be extremely full the last couple of weeks, especially those flights to Denver. And, you know, anytime you have full high-density narrow bodies at a regional airport, you know, things get a little busy. So the checkpoint has been a little bit, you know, more congested during peak times, but I'm really proud of the effort of the team to keep things moving along. So in case you're wondering how things are going on that front, the Frontier flights are looking good, and United as well, and all that extra support for Denver has been great. Excuse me. As you can see, capacity remains up. Excuse me. And the fall, the schedules continue to solidify, so we're feeling good. Excuse me, overall, but the trend is looking worse for advanced bookings.
starting to see a little bit of a reduction in those advanced bookings. We're continuing to monitor it right now. We haven't seen any impacts to our schedules. And as you can see on this graph, we're still well ahead of the national averages there. But it is something that we are just aware of and starting to watch as enter the Delta variant and kind of going into cold and flu season is uncertain for people right now.
Sarah, how did those two Saturday flights that Frontier offered because of I-70's closure, did we fill last Saturday's flight?
Yes, they were. I don't know the exact load factors on those, but my sister was actually on one of them, and she said she had flown it a month before, and there was 30 people maybe, and she said it was extremely full.
Awesome.
So we're seeing a good response to that, and United's flight loads have actually been up as well.
Awesome.
In July, so.
Great.
Yeah, hoping to add a couple of more as well. And then on our next slide, I'm just going to keep going unless you want to stop me, Angela. We're continuing to see that restoration of service, not just at our airport, but also nationwide. United especially has been one of the most conservative, and they are getting closer and closer to having their schedules be back to that 2019 level. So this is September. And to remind you, the blue bars here represent the impact to Grand Junction, and the domestic is really nationwide there. And these have been a lot lower. We're continuing to see them be restored both nationally, and we've continued to outperform in several of these areas. The decrease that you do see in Allegiant of the 10%, that's really a reflection of their Mesa service. Last year that was year-round is how they started it, and they're really changing that to be more of the fall and winter season, so that's why that reduction is in there, is really that transition from year-round to seasonal. And then one of the things that we work with Harrison and our air service consultant on is we do also monitor the surrounding airports just so we kind of have an understanding not just of Grand Junction but the region. And we're actually seeing a similar trend of that growing kind of fall schedule from 2019 to 2021. You'll see that all of the capacity is up, and we do have more scheduled service than the other airports, but you'll see that growth in both Hayden and Montrose. Is quite a bit larger, and that really has to do with that Southwest service that came online last year. So you're seeing that perform really well, and you can see the whole Western region is really growing as we compare them to 2019.
Sarah, I think this is helpful to kind of see the trends on a percentage basis, but it kind of comes to mind at 266% of what number? I mean, did they start with 60 seats and now they're 180 or what does that kind of look like, do you think?
I don't know those numbers off the top of my head.
Maybe when in the future, if we share this graph, we can kind of give us a relative
reference point there. Yeah, because we certainly have more service than any of the other airports, so it's a good point. 266% of it, smaller number to
right.
increase, but
yeah.
Just from a percentage basis, we are seeing quite a bit of growth.
I know we had 29,000 people go through GJT in the month of July, and you kind of wonder what these other airports are kind of doing with the
yeah.
same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yep, we can certainly take that.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. I think that was the last slide I have for you, Angela. Do you have any other updates?
No, I think I'll just end with I'll end with that before I start talking again. So thank you.
Thank you, Angela. Appreciate that. Hope your cold's better soon. Best of success in getting over that quickly. Finance and activity report, Sarah.
Thanks. And Dylan, I'm not going to cover your report. Just kidding.
All means.
Well, we were excited in June to report that we had a record month for employment numbers. Our prior record was October of 2019, and we actually made another record in July. We topped it by about 200 passengers, and really July 2019 was the exciting thing to see that we were 15% higher than the number of enplanements that we had in July of 2019.
Wow.
So we don't expect this to continue, as we said, with those advanced bookings kind of declining a little bit, and August does tend to be lower than July. That kind of is that peak summer travel month. So we don't expect to set another record in August, but it would be exciting if we did. And then another thing that I thought was just great to see as well, not just that we are exceeding those capacity numbers again from 2019, which if you remember were there. The solid green line is our actual at 127,000 in payments through July, and we predicted that we would be closer to the 78,000 mark. So we are ahead of budget by over 62%. We are working on a reforecast. We were going to try to roll that out in the summer, but now as we're working on budget, we'll just present those at essentially the same time since we have a pretty good handle on where we're at. And then also, as you see, that solid green line that represents our 2021 actual is getting closer and closer to the yellow 2019. We're now down only 11% year-to-date from the same time period in 2019. So super excited to see that recovery. Hopeful we don't see that drop off as we get into the fall and winter, but the schedules look strong. As long as they can be filled, we should be good. And so for our July, sorry, I didn't mean to skip ahead too. If you guys have questions, or does anyone online have a question?
We're good.
As we look at July revenues, our preliminary estimates anyway, we have a couple that we're still estimating here, but we did exceed July 2019 revenue by 60%. We're over $200,000 ahead of budget. But for kind of our team, one of the most exciting things that we noticed this month is this is the first time, month over month, kind of year over year to 2019, that our parking revenue per passenger has gotten back to that pre-pandemic level. That is one of our largest revenue sources outside of airlines. Airlines, rental cars, and parking. And parking has been lagging, but we saw that it was at about $5.18 compared to just under $5 in 2019. So really excited to see that recovery because that's been something we've been definitely behind on.
Was there an increase in parking fees?
We have not changed parking fees. I think it's something we've discussed and considered, and as part of the airport development plan, kind of looking at what parking products we offer. Certainly, do we have enough parking as we've filled up a couple of times, but we have not made any changes to fee structure. So that's just purely driven by passengers.
That's great.
Sarah, remind me, we own that lot that's just dirt to the direct south of the paved lot. Okay.
Yeah. We have actually several different lots. That's what we're kind of working with InterVistas on too, because there's also the lot that's over by the Motel 6 as you come in.
Yep.
That's a possible opportunity. They've talked about doing differentiated products with like a milled lot versus a you know, the enclosed security one. So that's something as part of that development plan that we'll talk about more. Maybe a premium parking offering as well. So
thank you.
Seems like the market might be receptive to premium parking and a discount parking.
I think with our business travel, and if that comes back, we've kind of talked about even just a, like a fast pass conversation, like a hang tag, that they can just get in and out, they don't have to stop, pay a monthly rate. We've had a lot of people express interest in that, so I think that's something that we definitely pursue. And then our July individual payments over 100,000. I want to give kudos to Colin on this slide because I think if you consider the AIP project amounts here, I think he was within a couple $100,000. I was teasing Shayla that he is doing the billings for Garver, so maybe he had some control over that. But this really tracks with what we were expecting. And I also wanted to report that of the amount paid out of the 3.9, we did collect 3.8 million in reimbursements from the FAA within the same month. So we've been very, they've been very quick to respond and process those payment requests. And I think we have a really good system going. So that is reflected in our cash flows. And this is a month lag here. This is June, and this was in your packet, but we have had over 1,000 days of operating cash on hand in our unrestricted account since February. So being able to get those reimbursements from those contract payments has just kept us in this really strong position. I know I've had conversations with a few of the commissioners about doing an investment program so that we can actually take, you know, some advantage and earn a little bit more than the money market that we have right now. So that's on the list for us to work on right now. And then net operating income in your packet again through June. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here, but we are significantly ahead of where we thought we would be. We're still below budget in our expenses and obviously well above budget in our revenues due to those passenger numbers and the activity that we have. Did anyone have any questions from the packet or on these couple of slides this evening? And then the only other thing that I wanted to end with is just kind of a couple of quick updates. One, we did complete all of our final plan to do our budget hearing like we've done in the past at our October 19th meeting, where really we will invite public comment and commissioner discussion on the preliminary budget to go over questions or clarifications and changes. And then we plan to, at the November 16th meeting, actually do the budget adoption. So that will give us a little bit of time, if there are questions or any changes, to make those in that month. So that's the end of my report for you this evening, unless there's any questions.
Questions for Sarah? Really appreciate the activity that you've got going on here with cash flow and all that kind of stuff as we get, and Colin's got a little bit of a part of that. Because if we do get sub $20 million of funds coming in, that's going to be a very busy year.
Yes.
Next year. that'll make cash flow a bit of a challenge, I suspect. It's nice to have the full reimbursement. And it's good to hear that, I think I remember that one slide said 3.9 million going out the door, 3.8 collections. But of that, only 3.5 of those was associated with that. So we got some money from the previous month.
Yeah.
But it shows that we're staying pretty current on our accounts receivable, mm-hmm. which is nice to hear. And hopefully that continues for the year ahead. But this is, next year will be a very busy year for
yes.
this, no question about it.
We're working hard on closing out grants, too.
Yeah.
So.
So just for commissioners, just again, point of clarification here, September 16th. Audit committee. We will have a regular meeting, board meeting in September, but no workshop in September. So we get a week or an extra day there in the month of September. But we will be ramping up there in October and November for some workshops. So keep those on your calendar if you could. Be helpful to keep us all current as we go through the activities associated with what's going on here at the airport. So anything else for Sarah? Okay, Dylan, you're up.
I'm a roll, sir.
She promised, Dylan.
Thank you, Chair Benton, Commissioners of the Board. Just really quick operations report for you. Really quick credit Brandon from operations for this picture. This is the very first aircraft to use our new run-up pad. And he got some good pictures of it going over there to utilize it. So it is operational now. I'll get to that here further in the report. But I thought that was a good picture, and he picked a good backdrop.
Wait a second, he's blowing the wrong way. Aren't the barriers to the other side?
No, that's a good point. That is him taxiing in on the
projector.
Okay. He's not actively doing the run up there. He was capturing him as he was taxiing
good.
Now.
So okay, just
there is another picture of it doing the run up on there.
No worries.
But if you want to go to the next slide, Sarah. So two of these graphs you've gotten kind of accommodated or accustomed to seeing. With the top left, graph being the rolling three-year trend up to July in terms of total operations. And you can kind of see that operations are holding steady in the month of July. July beat out June by 15 operations. So July right now is the busiest month this year in terms of operations. You can kind of see how it compares to the prior 2 years as well. I added that graph to the right, top right over there, to kind of give you more of a breakdown. And I think you saw this last quarter. Kind of gives you more of an idea of the breakdown for the operations. And you can get an idea that general aviation especially has a bit of an uptick in the month of July, as well as the local civilian versus 2019. We saw the local civilian being mainly touch and goes, is how that is depicted. Make a recovery now that we're out of the Taxiway Alpha construction. When you take chunks of Taxiway Alpha away, aircraft have to back taxi on the runway to bypass it to get down to where they need to go, whether they're either landing and going to the ramp or they're going to the runway to take off. So when those types of operations are in effect, usually the tower restricts the amount of touch and goes, and that's what affects that number. So that's why we saw that number down a little bit in May and June when that operation or that construction was going on. Not only that, but the military, both local military being touch and go military, and then the itinerant military being just the basic military there was up as well, just a pinch. And in addition to the air carrier, with the additional airline operations that we had saw in July, and then the air taxi operations as well. So that all kind of contributed to that uptick in operations and why it's continuing to hold steady like it is in the summertime. And then diversions, you know, the diversions are a little bit on the downward trend, partially a big reason to some of that is the construction that's going on the ramp out here right now. This big portion right now really restricts the amount of excess parking we have on the ramp. So the one thing we've communicated to the airlines is that while we won't say we can't take diversions altogether, we may not be the best plan A airport when it comes to diversions just for your planning. So I think we've seen a slight downtick in the diversions for that. But as we get through this construction towards the end of September, those things will begin to normalize again as we have full capacity on the ramp. And we have a new run-up pad. Should the situation arise, we have extra parking if we need to use it as well for diversions as well. So that's a good thing as well to fall back on. Are there any questions on any of those graphs?
Yes. Thank you, Dylan. And forgive me for maybe being a little dense, but I still don't clearly understand the difference between GA and local civilian. So local civilian are just touch and goes, and that differentiates it?
Yeah, so they say civilian to differentiate it from military. So local means that stays in the pattern. So it takes off and does touch and go. So you have military local and then you have civilian local.
Staying
and
in the pattern.
Those in touch and goes.
Okay.
And then the other general aviation is what leaves the area or comes in from a different area.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And where would the Westar aircraft fall that are coming here for being serviced?
So depending on the size of the aircraft, it would either be air taxi or general aviation or military, depending on the operation.
Okay. Okay. We might need a handout.
Yeah. You guys also have to ask as well
as we can
through it.
The difference
Sometimes I need to refresh myself as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Do we get flex jets landing here from time to time? Would that be air taxi?
You know, to be honest, a flex jet would probably fall into the category of air taxi with the tower. To be honest with you, I don't know if I've seen a flex jet here or not. We get net jets, we get wheels up aviation, which is similar.
Right.
Business model as flex jet, but I don't know if I've seen a flex jet here. That doesn't mean they're not here.
That was just that same type of business.
They tend to sneak
traffic,
in and out a lot easier than when you see the airliners.
Yeah, it's nice to see that that's recovered from 2020.
Yeah.
It shows, because that's a bit of the business connections, because we read that a lot of business owners bought aircraft in 2020 and or else signed up for Wheels Up or whomever, flex jets, whatever the case may be, NetJet.
Hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's something we saw almost instantaneously after kind of the downfall of the pandemic in March, April, is that GA almost immediately just came right back as a lot of people started to see the value in the general aviation aspects. So,
nice report. Thanks, Dylan.
Yeah,
and I have one more slide.
Here we go.
Just really quick, we have the upcoming runway closures that has been scheduled in September 7th through the 28th. It'll be during the nighttime hours, 10 o'clock. To 6 a.m.
And Sugal has a question too.
Oh, do flights that are. They do not, Fred. That would be general aviation. Just to answer your question, Fred.
Would you ask it for the public record so everyone listening can hear?
So Fred asked if the TBM flights counted as general aviation?
Yes, if they count as Navy, and they would be general aviation.
Okay.
It would have to be active military
to count as.
That has a certified call sign in the military system with the air traffic control tower to be specified as military.
Gotcha.
Just to answer your question.
Yep. Good explanation.
Yeah. Right. So we have the runway closures. The commercial ramp project is progressing. Again, I won't take Colin's thunder on that because he always gives you guys a good update on everything that's going on from the project standpoint of that. Everything is going well on the ramp with that. The airlines have done a good job working with us as we play musical airplanes out there and move bridges around.
Mm-hmm.
The run-up pad, as I said before, is open. That's a picture of the first plane utilizing it, that Learjet. Looks like a, can't tell what that is, a Lear 55 there, doing its run-up. So that's very exciting, and it's been used pretty heavily ever since. So we're pretty happy with that, and we're happy that we are no longer closing this secondary runway of 422 in order to do that. And Westar is very happy with that as well. And then also we have the, I just want to point out too that we have planned, based off the board's last approval at the last meeting of the Charlie 1 Alpha rehabilitation with the crack seal and the seal coat. So we're excited to do that as well in conjunction with the upcoming runway and taxiway alpha project with United Companies. So other than that, that is all I have.
I had a question for you about operations with all this low visibility. Are you seeing any, I mean, I know the big planes, it's no problem, but with the GA, are you seeing issues with that at all?
So there's two rules, just to keep it really quick, two rules in aviation. One is VFR, which is visual flight rules,
yeah.
and you have IFR, which is instrument flight rules. These conditions haven't diminished enough that you get into instrument flight rules where you need a certain certificate as a pilot and certain instruments in the aircraft to be able to fly under those rules. To answer your question, the visibility and the ceilings at which the smoke is at hasn't triggered those rules. So to answer your question, it really hasn't affected that.
Thank you.
We've been pretty fortunate.
Wonderful, thanks.
Any other questions for Dylan? All right, very good. Thank you, Dylan, appreciate that. Ben Peck.
All right, good evening, commissioners. As always, I'll try to keep really short. Just an update on FCI projects. That hallway downstairs where DAC boarded is scheduled to have carpet this week finally. We've got the concrete cured out enough that we can put that down. Rental car fuel site canopy, the steel's estimated to be here September 13th. You know, if you recall, we had to do some over excavation for the footers and that kind of pushed things back a little bit and even missed their opportunity to get the steel in August. So we're a little bit of a lull waiting on that steel to arrive. And then the air traffic control tower fire detection system upgrade, we're roughly 60 to 70% done over there in the tower now. So that's coming along nicely. That's you guys doing a great job with that. Last board meeting, I reported that our Linside supervisor was reaching out to CSU, Trevor River Cooperative Extension, with regard to some of the tree infestation we've seen. But we know that the city of Grand Junction's been combating some boars and things like that. So Susan Carter came out, did a really nice walk around with Sean Stratton. They identified a variety of things from, some recommendations on better management of the root systems of the trees to, hey, you have an infestation here, and this is what the city's doing to combat it. And they gave us those contacts with the city, so I know Sean reached out to them as well. So really good information from Trevor, and hopefully we're on the right track to curbing some of those issues. And then the Gate 3 passenger loading bridge, I recall you approved a repair for the lift tube. The southern lift tube had an issue with it. We were out here Friday night into Saturday morning. That crew started here about 7:30 in the morning Friday. We ran into problems during the day with the tube being in a bind, and through a lot of luck and hard work, my team along with the folks that were doing the repair were successful in getting that up and running. I think the bridge was ready to be used by about 2:30 in the morning Saturday. So.
Wow, that was quite a project.
It was quite a project, so thank you for approving a firm to come and do that, because they definitely have the skill sets and the tools and abilities. And then the last thing, as you walked into the terminal today, you probably noticed it's pretty bare on the curbside where we had a lot of trees and shrubs. If you go back into some of the laboratory's recommendations for the structural repairs and such of this terminal, and one of them was getting the water away from the terminal. Originally, those planters were a great idea aesthetically, but as you'll notice, our downspouts drain into those planters. And we're thinking that a lot of the movement on that side of the building over the years has been because we're not getting the water away. So the board approved us to buy some trench drain material. My staff has started the installation process. So we're removing material out there. We'll get the trench drains in, get that water to the curbside, well away from the building, and then we'll kind of have a different look about it. So that large area on the west end, between the two vestibules, that is envisioned to be more of a kind of a courtyard area to sit and wait for your people to pick you up. And then some of the other planters down there, it might turn into just more of a seating area. So that's kind of it, really nice and condensed. Any questions that I can answer?
Questions for Ben this evening? Ben, what's the mortality estimate for the trees here?
I don't know if they have an estimate. There was, Susan came back and said, you know, we have a fair amount of ash trees out there, and they're no longer recommending that they plant it in the Grand Island. And so they recommend that you start planting these shadow trees, if you will, in the background. So when the ash borers get to these, know it's some of the city, trees that were in city right away, the city's come out and treated those. But we're still kind of walking the grounds and trying to get a really good grasp on it. But I know the ash trees and a few other varieties have been sprayed.
So long term, probably we lose the ash, or intermediate term, we lose the ash, and we begin thoughtfully replanting a different tree variety.
Exactly. As we start this budget process with Sarah and Shayla, one of the things we will plan to do is put some money in the landscaping budget to start acquiring trees next year.
I mean, that's one thing our airport has going for it. It did have a good landscape plan. It really looked attractive coming in, so hopefully we can maintain that.
And you know, they'll tell you that, and I'm sure the city's hearing the same thing, that this drought has been very detrimental. It's put a lot of these trees into stress, and once they're stressed, the bugs like to infest.
Anything else for Ben from facilities perspective?
Great job.
Nice work, Ben, especially on the loading bridge. Okay, project report, Colin Bible. Colin, are you with us this evening?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
How are you?
So you've seen a lot of this before, but over the next few months, we're going to dust off this slideshow and have some new stuff to show you. We're wrapping up some of these big infrastructure projects. Go ahead and click to the next slide if you would, Sarah. So a few months ago, we started presenting this slide. I'm actually really happy to report Sarah touched on it. If you remember the first time we showed this slide, we had some spikes in the July-August timeframe of almost $6 million. We have been able to do some things like pay at intermediate points instead of just at a whole month, change whether it's the beginning of the month or the end of the month with our contractors. And the run-up in West Apron are actually two separate invoices. And so we've been able to balance that and work with partner contractors to spread that out and get rid of some of those peaks and make it a little more manageable for honestly them and us because it helps them on their end to be paid at a more frequent basis as well. So I'm really happy to report that. Wanted to show you guys what we've been able to do. Next slide, please. So the run-up pad in West Apron, as Dylan reported, the run-up pad was completed last week. That includes the additional seal coat that the board approved in our last month's meeting. That's all been installed and approved, and everything seems to be holding up well. The West Apron is still scheduled to end in late September. Everything's going well. The next few weeks, they've got to finish pouring concrete, and then it's some touch-up work and then some work behind the Gate 3 area. Next slide, please. Here's some pictures of these areas. As you can see, the run-up pad is complete. Dylan's pictures are way better than my pictures, as usual. He's out there, though, so I don't know that that's a fair comparison. He's got great weather options. He can go out anytime and get them. And then the West Apron is just a shop room this morning. The Taxiway A rehab, the taxiway work itself, mill and overlay, has been completed. As Dylan mentioned earlier, in the September 7th through September 30th timeframe, there's going to be runway work. But as Dylan mentioned, the actual closures end on the 28th. There'll be some touch-up work where the runway remains open, and there's a displacement on the end. However, that work will be during the night, as Dylan reported, from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, each one of those days. Runway project that's we've all been talking about for the last few months and has been the focus of today's meeting. We're all really excited about that. The green has fallen off, but the other portions are on the table for potential funding, and we are excited about the opportunity to potentially capture that green. Slide just telling about the timeline, not much here. And then the last thing I wanted to report on is the runway 422 rehab. We have completed the field work for that, and we're anticipating an engineering report to be completed in October, beginning of October. Any questions? I kind of blew through that. I know I've worn you guys out with this over and over again the last few months, and but it's exciting times. It's exciting to be packaging these things up and potentially such a large grant to begin that runway work.
questions for Colin this evening?
I think just a thank you for me for putting us in such an advantageous position to be able to secure those without a match. That's a big deal.
Well, it wasn't just thanks for the thanks, but it wasn't just us. We've got really good partners all around and the airport and the FAA, honestly. Mm-hmm. They've all been really great.
Colin, if we could, just a couple of the quick three things. Can we back up to the colored slide of red, green, or red, orange, and green for just a second, and maybe enlighten us in the process for Schedule 4 items. Does the FAA kick those out if they don't have enough money for airports, or what is the fallout for Schedule 4 items that typically happens in a project of this size?
Yeah, so the reason Schedule 4 wasn't included is we actually went through the design process with Schedule 4, if you remember, and that's the origination of this slide. But,
right.
Through the review process and working with the FAA, each one of these schedules is, and I'll let Jeremy chime in if he wants to add anything, but in a nutshell, each one of these colors really represents a piece of meaningful work that it basically is earthwork that's pulled from one area and it's cut and it fills another area. And so each one of these, there's two parts and they interrelate. The reason Schedule 4 was the quickest to fall off is really because there wasn't as much similarity as there was between Schedule 1 and 2 and 3. So Schedule 1 and 2 shared some really integral drainage components, and it really was beneficial to build those at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Schedule 2 and 3 shared a perimeter that made it really advantageous to not switch contractors. Mm-hmm. 3 and 4 didn't have as many of those parts and pieces. We were able to split that out where it could really be performed by a separate contractor. And so that's how we kind of pick that as our point to drop off. And honestly, just to be candid, I think originally the FAA's view was that maybe we should really just look at Schedule 1. And I think our team did a really good job of building a case. And it's true and it's accurate that we really needed to do all three of those if at all possible and advocate for that instead of letting it fall to a different year. So, I wouldn't view this as a we lost Schedule 4 so much as a we gained really at least Schedule 3 and maybe Schedule 2 and 3 by helping advocate for it. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah, it kind of does. When you think a little bit about mobilization of contractor work, whether it's roads, highway work, whatever the case may be, when you mobilize for a project, there's fairly significant expenses in that front end, seems like. And for the FAA to kind of kick one of the pieces down the road sort of jumps up at you as, okay, if we get deferred on Schedule 4 for 18 months or 2 years, we're going to incur those costs of remobilization for the project. And that was my question around that. So.
Well, and just so we're on the same page about that, there's actually going to be more earthwork that has to happen in addition to this, at some point in the future. So the green on the left side of the page is actually pretty close to where the new runway end will be. Not quite. It's probably on the right side of that green area on the left portion of the page. So that the existing runway has to be extended, if you'll remember, to become a taxiway. That's an area of significant fill as well. And so another reason that kind of made sense to defer that work is there's a lot of cut in the green area, and we need a place to put some of that dirt. Part of it's going to go where that green goes on the left side, but another portion is going to go on that extended runway. Okay. So we could have moved it, but there's a good chance we would have rehandled a lot of that dirt. Mm. And so it kind of makes sense for it to fall to the later package, just from a logistics standpoint. But I do agree with your point. I mean, in a perfect world, we just do it all at once, and have all that equipment out here and just do it all at once. But I think we're in a really strong position with the break that we did take in the split.
Sure. And then just refresh my memory, the two little purple spots down there in the lower left-hand side, the southwest side, are those fill zones?
Those are actually ponds. They're detention areas.
Okay. All right. Well, good. A couple of quick other things. Backing up a couple more slides on Taxiway Alpha, the little bars as far as the months they were going to happen. It looked like we, did we go from phase one to phase two for Taxiway Alpha? Is that why we didn't have anything going on in August? Back up a couple more if you could. There we go. So there's no gray happening in August there for Taxiway Alpha.
Yeah, this was actually payment period. And so they finished a big portion of that work in the beginning of August. And so they will submit an invoice at the end of this month.
Okay.
For that work and be paid for it in the following month.
Well, nice job with that, because that's a very big chunk that was part of August. I'm not sure how you guys managed to push that off another 30 days. That's pretty good. So, okay. I think that was the only questions I had. Just was curious about a couple of those things. So thank you, Colin. Appreciate that.
You bet.
All right. Any other business before the board this evening?
Mr. Chairman, I think I heard you say that our September workshop is going to be canceled September 7th. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. It's still on my calendar, so I'll make sure to remove it. And then we'll just have the meeting then in September.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Is that okay with everybody?
Well, yes.
It's always nice to have a little bit of time there for other stuff. So thank you. I appreciate everybody's attendance. I'll entertain a quick motion for adjournment this evening.
So moved.
Been moved by Commissioner Taggart. Is there a second?
Second.
And we'll do by this by voice. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Very good. Motion carries. Very good.
Thaddeus, this is Rick. Thaddeus, are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you give me a buzz?
Absolutely.
Because I need to update you on something.
All right. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you, everybody, for your attendance this evening and your engagement with the airport. So, staff, thank you for being here.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Siri has a very unusual voice.
That's an unusual voice. I've heard that one before.
Poor Angela.
Yeah, she doesn't sound good.
Oh, man.
She texted me and apologized. I was like, why are you apologizing? We could have just done it without you.
Oh, I know, exactly.
Just the one you said.
That's why she has such a great competent team around her, so she can get better when she's sick among things. Wow. Everything.
How you been?
I'm good. And you?
Oh, not too bad, thank you. I'm with you and you.
Hello, Ben. Thanks for asking.
No problem.
Good.
Hi, Rick. Good to see
you, Rick. Good luck with the next races.